And let me give you a disclaimer as you look at the outline for our lesson tonight. I mentioned to you last week about how my wife cannot pass a flower bed without stopping to pick the weeds. And she confirmed that we were coming in tonight, just coming in from our car, and she stopped out here and started weeding, pulling weeds out. She's got this compulsion that she can't get past doing that. Well, I have to admit, I have a compulsion also. Mine's a little bit different. Mine is that when I sit down with a Bible text, I got to pull every weed I can find. I got to get every little bit. I milk that thing very, very well. And so our outline tonight looks like it could take about 6 hours to get through. And so if I don't give you the details of the outline, you've got it right there in front of you. And so you can follow along because I won't have the time to go through every detail of it. But we are in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 14. We're going to read down to verse number 21. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, as we continue through the Gospel of Mark. And if you'll follow along in your Bible, Mark chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says this. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? I've entitled the lesson tonight, Forgetting the Bread. I had a backup title. It was going to be Short Memories. And what the disciples here show is that they have a short memory. It's only two sections ago, the beginning of this very chapter, where Jesus fed the 4,000. It's only two chapters before this, which was less than 48 hours ago, where he fed the 5,000. And yet, in spite of that, when these disciples get on the boat and think Jesus is talking about the fact that they've only got one little loaf of bread, they're worried because they don't have enough. They've completely forgotten what he's able to do. I do not judge anyone for forgetting things, because it happens too often. The older we get, the more we forget. Look back, if you would, at Psalm chapter 90. This is not part of the lesson tonight, but I like what it says back here. Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse number 10. You'll be familiar with the verse, I'm sure. Psalm 90, verse number 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Of course, score means 20, so 70 is 60 plus 10. The days of our life are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Someone has pointed out, it's interesting to note that God measures our lives in 20-year increments. 70, 70. And that's pretty much a definition of our life and what we know and what we remember. For the first 20 years, we are learning everything. Now, all those people in those first 20 years are down, well, except for Aaron, are downstairs. So she's still in that age curve. She's still learning everything. From 20 to 40, they know everything. I had somebody tell me just the other day, I forget who we were talking to, somebody's talking about my sister was passing through town. Their 20-year-old daughter, getting ready to graduate from college, you can't tell her anything she doesn't already know. She's got the world by the horn. She's got it all figured out. And from 20 to 40, you know everything. From 40 to 60, you experience everything. And there's where life really really comes in. 40 to 60, you experience everything. Then 60 to 80, you forget everything. Now, those are the 20-year increments of our life. The disciples here in Mark chapter 8 are not quite in that area yet, but look back in Mark chapter 8. That was free, no charge for that. But look back at Mark chapter 8 and notice it says in verse 14, they had forgotten to take bread. They were young, but they had forgotten. At the end of verse 18, Jesus had to say, and do ye not remember? That's going to be part of life. Forgetting things. And so we're going to learn that from these disciples this evening. What they had forgotten, what they had to learn, what they had to receive from the Lord to get further education, basically. We're going to break this down into four sections as we normally do. First of all, verse number 14 in our outline, the loaf. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. It's made as simply a statement, but I can imagine the disciples in this boat now having this discussion about who brought the bread. As we have seen in the previous trips, this is the fifth time that they are going back and forth over the Sea of Galilee. From the west side to the east side, to the west side to the east side, to the west side to the... They have gone back and forth for the past few days from Capernaum to Gadara, back over to the other side, I forget where it was, and then Decapolis, and then Dalmatia, we saw in verse number 12, and now they're crossing it over again. It's not surprising they forget something. It seems like we, many times when we get about a quarter mile from the house, we realize something has been forgotten. Can you go back? I forgot my phone. I forgot my glasses. You mean the ones up there on your head right there? You forgot those? Now, I'm not picking on my wife because one time, the difference between Sonia and I is if I forget something, I don't need it. And so I just keep driving. One morning I forgot my phone. I thought, big deal. Nobody will be able to bug me all day long. I'll just go to the church. I'll be fine. I won't have to worry about it. My car broke down that day. I did not have my cell phone. And when I went and asked somebody for help, they said, who can we call? I said, nobody. I don't know anybody's phone number. They're all in my phone. So it does pay when you forget to go back and get it sometimes. It's not a problem here. But here's the disciples, and with all this traveling, and think about this, and we've talked about this before. Following the Lord Jesus Christ was not a lackadaisical event. There was not a lot of downtime. There was not a lot of rest and relaxation. They were constantly, we've been looking at this crossing this Sea of Galilee here at the beginning of His ministry, and they're going back and forth and back and forth several times. And these disciples, no wonder He picked at least four fishermen. Because He needed some, I mean, Matthew out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, what's a tax collector going to do out there? He needed guys that could navigate the water. He needed men, humanly speaking, that could get out there and do these things. And so they're going back and forth. I'm sure they're tired. I'm sure they're weary. And in the midst of that, they forgot to get bread. And that's exactly what it says. The disciples had forgotten. They just overlooked it. They forgot about that need. And so the Bible tells us that their discussion was about the simple fact, who brought the bread? Well, Judas, you got the money. Did you get bread? No, I'm the treasurer. I'm not the bread buyer. Well, who brought it? Did anybody else get bread? Nobody else got bread. The whole thing goes on. And they realize within themselves, they realize, and Jesus is picking up on this conversation. We're going to see in the next verse. It's not just out of the blue. He's hearing this. And the Bible says that they had forgotten to take bread. Then the discovery at the end of verse 14, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Now, we talked about this. We've seen bread over and over again. That woman back in Mark chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman, it's not meet to give the children's bread and feed it to dogs, yes, but we can eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. Bread is a main theme back there. It's a sustaining thing in the life of the Jewish people. And this bread that they're talking about, when we read loaf, we think like Americans. And we think a nice big loaf of Wonder Bread. All right, something we get down at IGA or Respects at the grocery store. But these loaves, you remember the boys' lunch? The small lad's lunch in John chapter 9 was five loaves and two fishes. Now either that was one hungry boy that had five loaves of bread, or the loaves are not as big as we're thinking when we think of it. And culturally, when we research and study the Bible, we find out these loaves are not big. They're just small pieces of bread. And so when these disciples get in the boat, all they've got amongst them is one loaf. That's not enough to feed one of them, much less 13 of them counting the Lord. Now, of course, the whole story is about how can you wonder if there's going to be enough bread when the bread of life is sitting there right across from you? And he's sitting right there. So that's the discussion they're having and the discovery they make about the loaf of bread. Then verse 15 to 18, the leaven. Jesus takes this discussion as an opportunity to teach a lesson. And we see that over and over again in the Word of God. Jesus was a great example of observation. He watched his surroundings. Remember the parable of the sower and the seed when we came to that? He's on the side of that mountain, and he looks off into the distance there next to the Sea of Galilee, and he sees a farmer out there sowing his seed. And he uses what he sees and what is visual to those people. He uses that to teach and instruct all those people there during that parable. And here Jesus, as it were, overhears this conversation or knows what they're thinking. He knows what's going on here. And he uses it as an opportunity to teach. Our questions, our difficult circumstances, are the Lord's best opportunities to teach us something. When we have abundance, when we have no need, when there are no health issues, no financial troubles, no family problems, our ears usually aren't very tuned. But when we go through those things, the Lord uses that as an opportunity to teach us. So our prayer needs to be in difficult times, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? We used to think, Lord, what have I done wrong? Why are you punishing me? No, it might not be that. It might just be He's trying to teach us something. And whatever it is He's trying to teach us, He's not just trying to teach us for the sake of teaching us, but to prepare us for something farther down the line. The Lord never wastes any words. He never wastes any opportunities. He is the prime example of wisdom. And so now as these men are discussing this, He uses this discussion as an opportunity to teach them something. In verse 15, He uses it to teach them what we call a metaphor. A metaphor, an illustration. He's going to take that physical bread and make an illustration, a metaphor out of it. He's going to liken it to the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod, and we'll see it, Matthew says, and the Sadducees. He's going to use it as a picture story. I'm working on some lessons right now for the Bible college, either in the summer or in the fall, on how to interpret the Bible. And you would be surprised if you research, if you Google or whatever you want to do, the amount of people that do not believe the Bible should be taken literally. The miracles. No, those aren't literal. I mean, I was reading an article yesterday or today by a doctor, a guy with a PhD in biblical studies. I mean, this guy is a very learned and educated reverend. And yet he was writing about that and saying, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, but I believe that there's a mixture of error because men wrote it, men translated it, and you can't always believe everything that's in there. Man, if you had to approach the Bible that way, you'd be faithless. You wouldn't know what's right and what's wrong. If it's either all right and all perfect, or it's full of mistakes, you might as well pitch it. We're wasting our time, folks. If that Bible's got one mistake in it, we're wasting our time. Because if it's got one, it can have two. If it's got two, it can have five. And you don't know where they're at. I'm thankful we can believe the Bible literally. So the Bible is designed to be interpreted and believed literally, and yet that does not exempt or cast out figures of speech. Jesus told parables. There's an allegory that's given. There is symbols that are given. All right? Thy word is like a rock. All right? Thy word is like a hammer. All right? It's like, it's like, it's like. Those are symbols of things. People get confused with that day of Pentecost thing. The Holy Ghost came as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind. It was as of. So there are times with the Bible, and it tells you when it's supposed to be. The old expression is that when the literal sense of the Bible makes good sense, seek no other sense, lest it be nonsense. All right? When you can read the Bible and it's literal, take it as literal. Let that be the first door you go through. Then if it cannot be literal, then you look for a parable, an allegory, a symbol, whatever. What is Jesus saying here? Verse 15. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. He's using leaven now as a metaphor. We know that because if we went to Matthew 16, which we might in a minute, we'll understand that the disciples at the end of this story realize that He's speaking to them about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So Jesus is likening this thing of leaven to teaching, to doctrine. It's the metaphor of leaven. Leaven. Leaven is not yeast. All right, again, Americans, that's what we think of, yeast. Like people back in those Bible days ran down to Respects, ran to Walmart, got a little packet of yeast so they could put it in their bread. Now, yeast is what we use in these days, but even our beloved Webster's 1828 dictionary gives us the proper definition of what leaven is, and I'll read it to you very quickly. It is a mass of sourdough. Alright, it's not a packet of something like yeast. It's a piece of sourdough, which when mixed with a larger quantity of dough or paste, produces fermentation in it and renders it light. Now it does what yeast does. It takes that heavy dough and fills it with a little bit of air and leavens it. But that leavening in the Bible is talking about they've got some old bread from last time, and some of the commentators put it, they talk about them putting it in water and seasoning it and all this kind of stuff. And then when they make a fresh batch, they put that in there to help it leaven, to help it rise. So it's a matter of taking something old and putting it back in there and doing all this. And Jesus is going to use that admixture of error, that admixture of some... When you read about leaven in the Bible, I think the word appears about 20 times. And the Jews were told when Passover came, get all the leaven out of the house. The rest of the year, they were allowed to have it. But on Passover, they had to get the leaven out of the house. And it wasn't little packets up in the cabinet. It was that thing that they used when they made more dough and more bread. They were to clean it out for that time of Passover. And Jesus uses that illustration to teach about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He uses that metaphor. Someone said this, that leaven was small. All right, and again, Webster's dictionary, it's a small mass of sourdough put into a bigger loaf. It's small. It's also secret, because what it does within that lump is something that can't really be described or known, other than that it makes that rise. You ladies know that better than I do. And it also spreads. It makes the whole loaf rise. So Jesus is taking that example and making an application. The disciples are thinking about bread. Physical, literal bread. And Jesus says, what about the leaven? You've got to worry about that leaven. Notice it in verse number 15. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The meaning of the leaven, very quickly. The leaven of the Pharisees. What was it that the Pharisees were mixing in? They were adding to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said that they put burdens on the people. They added burdens to the people which should not have to be borne. They had the Torah, they had the law of Moses, they had the commandments, But as you know, when Jesus confronted the Pharisees, they were adding the washing of pots and pans and this thing and that thing, adding all these things to the law to add to the Word of God. And so the Lord's saying, beware of those Pharisees, those that add to the Word of God, that say things that aren't there. Then he says, and beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. That's back in Mark chapter 16, by the way. I couldn't leave that out. Mark chapter 16 and verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Now we've seen these fellows before. The Pharisees add to the Word of God. The Sadducees take away from the Word of God. In Acts chapter 23, we read about the Sadducees being those that deny the resurrection. They don't believe in the existence of angels. They don't believe in spirits. So you've got the Pharisees who are adding to the Word of God. You've got the Sadducees who are denying things from the Word of God. And then back to Mark chapter 8, and it says, and of the leaven of Herod. You know, they are intermingling things. They're taking the Word of God and mixing it with modern-day expediency, if we can put it in that way. The Herodians, or those that were following Herod, the thing of Herod, is those that emphasized the political and mingled the political with the religious. Now, that's a touchy subject. We are not to withdraw from the public square. We're allowed to have our opinions and views on political matters. That's not a problem. All of us, I think, are probably in complete agreement that we need a different president in 2024. And that, I think I'm safe here, we need a different party in the White House in 2024. We'll agree on that, and we don't have a problem with that. But we do need to remember this, the hope of our nation is not going to be determined by who's sitting in the White House in the next 4 years. Now, it's going to help or hinder America to a certain extent, but that is not our hope. And some folks get so politically motivated, and you understand where they're coming from, they get so politically motivated that they can't put their focus on the right thing. They must. And again, that doesn't mean that any preacher or Christian that's concerned about the election, I think everybody should go vote. I think you should have your voice. But we need to remember that that's not going to fix our problem. That's going to extend maybe our freedom a little longer. But the only thing that's really going to give us hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Herodians were those, the followers of the Herodians and the followers of Herod and the teaching of Herod is that political expediency and religion were to work together. They were enemies of the Pharisees because the Pharisees were strictly Jewish. And the followers of Herod, or the Herodians, as they're called in other places in the Bible, the Herodians were followers of Rome, believing that if the Jews could win the favor of Rome, Rome would give them their political freedom, and then the kingdom of God could come in. And they had different views about different things. And so Jesus said, watch out for that leaven. Be careful of what you're getting. You know, the biggest source of leaven, I'm going to go for preaching to meddling right now. The biggest source of leaven right now is YouTube. People want to go and find the newest teachings and the newest doctrines and the newest philosophies when it comes to religion. And they get hooked on this guy or that guy, and I get videos sent to me and forwarded to me, and I watch them and I think, oh no, this is not good. There's enough good to make it sound okay, but there's a bunch of junk in there at the same time, and this is not safe. The modern media movement has just sped up the teaching of false doctrine. And you need to be careful what you're getting. Can I counsel you? Can I advise you? If you think that you've been fed at Bible Baptist Church, if you think you've grown in the Lord and in your knowledge of the Word at Bible Baptist Church, then get your bread from Bible Baptist Church. Don't get the leaven that the world's got out there. You come to Sunday school on Sunday morning, and church on Sunday morning, and church on Sunday night, and church on Wednesday night, plus your daily devotions and your personal time in the Word. You don't need anybody on YouTube. Now again, there's some good stuff out there. I'm not trying to bash that at all. But most of it is not helpful. And most of it people can't discern, especially younger Christians, can't discern what's good from what's bad, and just swallow anything that's exciting and anything that sounds good. And they don't know how to try the spirits, whether they be of God. This thing of leaven is very hard to spot. It's small. It's secret. It spreads. You've got to be careful. So Jesus is addressing this thing, the meaning of leavening, telling them that what this leaven is the teachings or the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and of Herod. Notice in verse 17 to 18 then, the misunderstanding of leaven. In verse 16, they reason among themselves saying, it is because we have no bread. You know what the disciples had a problem with? Something you and I never have a problem with. Knowing when Jesus is speaking literally and when He's giving an illustration. Remember twice in the Bible, Jesus says, tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And both times the general public that heard Him thought He's talking about the temple of Solomon. And He told them, I'm talking about the temple of my body. He used it as an illustration. Again, knowing when to take it literally, which is the majority, and when not to, comes from Bible study and Bible teaching. Don't get it from the internet. Don't get it from social media. Get it in church. All right, get it from going through the Bible and discerning it and reading it. So we find the misunderstanding of leaven, verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, that they were reasoning among themselves and saying, it's because we have no bread, they couldn't get their minds off the physical. All right, they're disciples. They're geared to thinking physically. And it's easy to point a finger at them. But we are geared to think that way also. When Jesus knew it, He saith unto him, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your head... Notice he says four things. Here's why they misunderstood. Here's why they didn't get it. Because they had, and we've got it here on the outline, they had hard hearts. That's what He said. Have ye your heart yet hardened? It's easy for me, being saved as long as I have been, reading the Bible as much as I have, studying as much as I have, it's easy for me to sit down and when I read the Bible, I know what it says before I read it. I'm reading now, I just finished the book of Amos in the Old Testament, I'm in Revelation in the New Testament, finishing things up. And when I start reading it, my mind always says, okay, I know this story, I know what's coming. And I have a tendency to read it without reading it. I know what it says. And what really illuminates me is when I stop long enough to realize, you know, there might be something in there that I don't know. And so I slow down and I pay attention and I read it. Because if I don't, my heart can get hard. As much as devoted as we can get, as dedicated as we can get, if we don't let the Word of God work through us, see, it's to work throughly, not thoroughly, but throughly. To make us what we ought to be. And we need to allow it to work on our heart. And again, I'm talking about, you know, most folks have hard hearts toward the Word of God from the very beginning. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. We're living in an ever-increasing anti-God and anti-Bible society right now. And folks, it's only going to get worse. Better be prepared. Better get ready. We're in Byesville, Cambridge, Guernsey County. It's not going to hit here like it's hitting the big cities right now, but it's a-coming, and it'll get here, so we need to be ready. They had hard hearts. They had blind eyes. He said in verse 18, having eyes, see ye not. Again, it's a metaphor. He's not talking about their physical eyes, because what he's talking about is what they're thinking about, that leaven. They've got blind eyes. They've got deaf ears. Hear ye not. And they've got forgetful minds. And do you not remember? When we approach the Word of God, which is the bread of life, we need to have soft hearts, open eyes, open ears, open understanding. And that's a personal thing. That comes from you and I in our daily devotional life, in our reading of the Word of God, our study of the Word of God. That we want to be vessels unto pleasure. And we want God's Word to flow through us and His understanding to go through us. I don't point a finger at these disciples for almost anything they've ever done, because I have the same human nature they have. And these fellows sitting in the boat and not understanding the conversation, not understanding the spiritual quality of the teacher that's teaching them. I find myself in that same position too often. So we see the misunderstanding of the leaven. Look at a couple of verses. We've got time. Look back at Psalm 103. That last thing he said, "Do you not remember? We have forgetful minds." We talked about that at the beginning of the lesson tonight. We have forgetful minds. It's just part of our human makeup, part of our body. One of the greatest fears, I think, one of mine, one of our greatest fears, is that losing those mental capabilities when we get older. My grandfather on my mother's side, Hubert Black, was a great man. He was a lay minister in the Methodist Church. Now, he passed away when I was like 4 or 5 years old, so I just barely remember him. But what I do remember, as a youngster, I was in a playpen down in Nashville, Tennessee, visiting when I was a little kid. I don't know, 2 years old, something. I don't know what it was. I remember him mistreating me. I don't mean in a bad... I just mean just being mean and shaking the pen and stuff like that. I heard later other stories of things that he did because he wasn't in his right mind. And that my whole life, that's bothered me. That scared me that when I get to that point in age, I don't want that to happen. And folks have that happen. They get that diagnosis. Alzheimer's. You're going to start forgetting things, and that's a scary thing. We want to remember. Let's start now. Let's start remembering what God has done. I don't know if that's a helpful thing. Scientists or psychologists haven't told me. I did read once that if you work puzzles, that helps you defeat that mental degeneration at the end of life. So I've got 3 Sudoku books that are sitting right next to my recliner, and I do at least one every single night. I'm doing my best to head off that thing when it comes later on. But we are prone to forget. Look at Psalm 103. Verse 1 and 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." That'd be a good verse for you to memorize for Pastor Braden next Wednesday when he asks for a Bible verse. Psalm 103:1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Forget not all His benefits. We need to remember. We need not to forget. We don't want Jesus to say, "Do you not remember?" He's going to remind them of something He did wonderfully just in the past couple of days. We tend to forget. One other verse in Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 7. Verse 6, "That the generation to come might know them, the works of God, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." Don't forget them. Don't forget what God has done. If the disciples would have remembered that, they wouldn't be in this situation. They wouldn't be sitting in this boat with the Lord Jesus Christ and worrying about whether or not He's displeased because they didn't bring bread. All they need is that one little one. If He could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, if He could feed the 4,000 with the 7 loaves and a few small fishes, He can feed 13 men with that one little loaf without any problem whatsoever. But they didn't remember. And so I don't want to say He castigates them, but He challenges them about that leaven. Then verse 19 and 20, quickly. Verse 19 and 20, the leftovers. And we all know this story. Jesus said to them, "When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they say unto Him, it's question and answer. He wants them to respond. He doesn't just tell them, don't you remember you had 12 baskets? He says, no. Engage your minds. Think about this for just a moment. And when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And I kind of wonder if the light's turning on. The light's beginning to shine. Aren't you glad the Lord's patient? Aren't you glad He gives us some grace, some space? He's dealing with these disciples right there and asking them stuff they should already know, and He shouldn't even have to have this discussion. He shouldn't even have to talk about this. But He does. And He says, do you remember the five loaves? How many baskets? 12. Remember the 4,000 that were fed, the 7 loaves? How many baskets? 7. And He says to them in verse 21, and He said to them, how is it that you do not understand? The lesson, verse 21. How is it that you do not understand? Early in the chapter, feeding 4,000. 2 chapters ago, which is just a couple days ago, feeding the 5,000. And that quickly, they've forgotten about it. And so He says to them, how many did you take up? And He said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Now I want you to turn to Matthew 16, because I want to end on a good note. And Matthew tells us this exact same story. If you put them down parallel next to each other, there's no discrepancies, that's not the word I want, but there's very few differences. The wording is almost exactly the same. The wording that God gave to Matthew and God gave to Mark and the way they expressed it is almost identical. And so when you read two stories like that, it's not the identical things. I mean, those just confirm it. What you want is the differences, because that's to teach you. And one of the biggest differences is verse number 12, the last verse of this section in Matthew's recording of it. Mark ended with them not understanding. Matthew ends in verse 12, then understood they how He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You might, don't do it, but you could write down in the margin of your Bible right there, 2 letters, O-H. Oh! That's what I picture the disciples doing. Mark says they didn't understand. Matthew says, then they understood. It's like, that's what He meant. That's what He was talking about. That's what it's all about. I love those oh moments in my Christian life. Those moments where I finally catch up with God and get it. And understand. Now, sometimes we never do. His ways are above our ways. We don't always understand what He's doing. But I like those moments, and I like reading about them in the Bible. While you're reading through your Bible, just put those O-H, just put that next to the, every time you find that where it could be that way, and just write it down. You'd be surprised how many of those moments there were. Where people that the Lord dealt with didn't understand, then all of a sudden it's, oh, I think of Nicodemus that way. All right, how can I be born again? Well, the wind blows where the... Oh, and he trusts Christ as his Savior. He becomes a believer. So the lesson is understood. Jesus took an opportunity of their misunderstanding to teach them what they needed to know. Because right there in that chapter, I'm going back to Mark chapter 8, you know what had just happened? He had just had a conversation with the Pharisees. Remember, we studied it last Wednesday. Show us a sign from heaven. We've had enough signs down here, enough healings, enough blind people seeing and lame people walk again. We want a sign from heaven. And Jesus wouldn't give them one. Then He warns His disciples, don't listen to the wrong people. Don't look at the leaven of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, of Herod. Listen to the Lord. And the best way to listen to the Lord is in this book right here. If it doesn't check out with that right there, and there, as I said, now I'll end with this, but as I said, you can get on those websites and this thing and that thing, and you hear all kinds of stuff that's not in the Bible. They've added that to it. All kinds of stuff. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says this, stuff they've left out. And a whole lot of intermingling of faith and society's values. Compromising what the Bible says because this is what's politically expedient. This is where society's going. That's all leaven. And if I can close with Galatians, I think it's chapter 3, verse 9. A little leaven. You know the verse. Before a little leaven leavens the whole lump. All right, it's small, it's secret, it spreads. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so we need to be careful of making sure we get the Bible right. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes.